I had a paper for you this morning. I did want you to bring your pens. And I was all set and ready to go. And then I saw all the people here, and I was like, I don't have enough papers for everyone. And so I said, well, let's hold off till tonight. But William, would you come and Nicholas and help me? Everyone can get one, all right? So start at maybe Nicholas, you start over here. Nicholas over here, and William. So when you get your paper, if you take it like this, and the picture of that's the Apostle Paul in prison, fold it in half, fold it neatly. So we're just going to go back, and we're going to fill out those blanks, okay? Because we did some of them this morning. You think you remember what we heard this morning? A little bit? All right, so the first thing was, what is the gospel? So what would you put down on your paper? What's the gospel? It's the good news about Jesus, right? About Jesus, but also it's something more, right? We just said it's not just about Jesus, but it's about what it means to me, right? How it impacts my life. So put that down. The gospel is the good news about Jesus, but it's how that Jesus life affects me today, right? And here's another good verse that I forgot to quote this morning. See, I get to go back now and add things that I didn't say. Romans 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? The power of God unto salvation to all those who believe. So the gospel is, there's a power in the gospel. It's a power to set us free from our sin and from ourself, all right? So you got that all down there ready? Yes? Are you writing fast? Oh, I have to slow down? Okay. All right. So what was the first blank there? The gospel and the Christian. Verses 3 to 6. It was our fellowship, our participation in the gospel. And he talks about how from the very beginning, later on in the letter, he says, even from the very beginning in chapter 4, he says, you were with me in the gospel. We worked together in the gospel. Christ brought us together. This good news, this salvation in Christ, we're one. We're partners in this. All right? And the second one, verses 7 to 8, remember what that was? Okay. The defense and confirmation. Defense and confirmation. Now, remember, the defense was we ought to be able to articulate what the gospel is, right? We ought to be able to tell someone. We ought to be able to defend what we believe. We have to know what we believe. But the confirmation of the gospel is something that is worked out where? In our lives, right? We receive His grace, and our lives show the world around us that this is real. There's grace available to each one for us to overcome and to live for God. To live godly in an ungodly world. And that's the confirmation of the gospel. And for Paul, it was the fact that even in prison, even when he was in chains, someone took my chains. I'm looking for my chains tonight. I want my chains. I need my chains. I'm free. My chains are gone. Praise God. No, I wanted my chains because, you know, even in chains, Paul could rejoice, and that was a confirmation of the gospel, that this is real. It's not just something we talk about, but it's real. It matters. It affects my life. It's powerful. And so in the most difficult situations, God gives us grace to rejoice and to look up and to not lose hope. And not only that, but he goes on to say the next one, 12 to 18, his chains were for the furtherance of the gospel, right? The gospel spread. Even though I'm chained, you know, there's another a scripture, 2 Timothy, I think 2:9 says, even though I'm in chains, the word of God is not chained. The word of God is free and it still goes forth. And even though I'm in prison, the word of God is not bound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so throughout the palace, they heard about Paul. And others were encouraged to speak and to share this testimony of Christ. And some, he says, of contention. Some did it, you know, with false motives. He says, but either way, I am happy because what? Christ is preached, and I rejoice. Hallelujah. All right, so that's kind of where we stopped, right? And there was one thing I said to you, and maybe you want to write this down, that God will either break your chains or use them for his glory. God will either break your chains or use them for his glory. There are situations that God allows to come into our life, circumstances that may seem to restrict us. We don't like it. But if we take God's grace in those difficult places, then God will use it and use you for his glory. Amen? All right, that was all by way of review. All right, now we're kind of caught up. So if you want to open your Bibles as well, I don't know if you can do both, but hopefully you can. If you can't, I'll read to you. But the first chapter of Philippians, we'll begin at verse 27, because here again we find something about the gospel. Now remember, this first chapter is about the gospel and the Christian. How do I, as a Christian, relate? How does that gospel relate to me? And so we've seen this so far, but there's more here. Philippians 1, beginning at verse 27. Begins this way. It says, whatever happens. Now here, this is, I'm reading from the NIV tonight. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So what would you put there? It's really to live, and what's the word with the W?
Worthy.
To live worthy. To live worthy of the gospel. Let's go on before we think about that a little bit. He says, then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. So that's the last one. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign of them, to them, that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. So here's something a little bit different. Again, the injunction or the exhortation or the desire Paul has for them to live worthy. You know, either whether I come to you or not, I want to hear that you are standing firm. Now, how is it that we live worthy? What does that mean, to live worthy of the gospel? What do you think? Well, one aspect of it, well, we're not worthy, right? Obviously, it's not talking about anything that necessarily we are or can do. But what does it mean to live worthy of the gospel? Well, if you believe the gospel to be true and the gospel has impacted your life, well, then you have to be changed. What does it say? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so if we bear the name Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, if you have identified with Christ and you have experienced a new birth and you are sharing in this gospel, this good news, well, then my life needs to be lived differently than those around me. I don't live according to the world's standards. I march to a different drumbeat. My desires are different. I become more like Christ. I desire to please him in the way I live, in the things I say, the places I go, what I do, how I spend my time, how I spend my money. It affects every area of our lives, beloved. And so are you living? Am I living worthy of the gospel? Now, the apostle, he focuses in on something else, though, here. He talks about unity and standing firm together. You know, to me, it's like an army. And in an army, at least the pictures I've seen, I've never been in the army, or I don't have army stories to tell you. But in the army, it seems like you need to form ranks, so to speak, and you stand next to the person, and you stand with that person, and you're ready to fight together. And you're under one commander. And so this unity, we stand in unity as believers. We stand in unity for the faith of the gospel. And that's another thing that had to take a pause there. What does it mean? We stand or we contend for the faith of the gospel. Jude 3 says this, earnestly contend for the faith that which was once delivered to the saints. I have to contend for the faith? What does that mean?
Fight.
Yeah, we have to fight. We have to fight, but this word faith in this context doesn't mean just belief. But faith in this context means the living out of what I believe. Do you understand that? You understand the difference, right? I can say I believe certain things. That's not really faith. But I express my beliefs by the way I live. That's faith. And so we talk about different faiths, right? Are you of the Catholic faith? Are you of the Protestant faith, right? We use that expression. And that's the idea. It's the living out of what I believe. And so what do you believe? What do you believe about the gospel? Well, one of the things that we believe about the gospel is that Christ lives in us. Did you know that? Did you know that Christ is in you?
Yes.
It's right here, right there, big letters. Christ is in you. You know, there are many things that we can take from the life of Christ. And when we consider his death, we think of the forgiveness of sin, right? He died for me. And he paid the penalty for me. And then he rose again. And that has significance, right? Because I too can walk in newness of life. That's part of the gospel. And now he ascends and he goes back to heaven. And the gospel continues because something takes place after Jesus is in heaven that is part of the gospel. And what is that? What did Jesus do when he went back to heaven? He sent the Holy Spirit. And that's the part where Christ now is in you. Christ is in you. The day of Pentecost, beloved, is part of the gospel. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ living out his life. And you know, and I thought about this. He goes on to say, stand firm in the face of what? Opposition. Not everyone is going to believe what you believe. Not everyone is going to like your expression of faith. And there may be opposition. And you know, beloved, in America, we've been somewhat fortunate. But that may not always be where there is no opposition to our faith. And we see it increasingly. You want to believe that? That's okay. But don't you just keep that to yourself. Don't live it out. You know, you do that at home. And yet we're called, beloved, to live out our faith and to share our faith day by day. And so in the face of opposition, God gives us his grace. But it's important for us to know that we have brothers and sisters who are standing with us, who are like-minded. I was even thinking in Christian circles today. Sometimes we may face opposition. You take this thing too seriously, Brother Anthony. Way too seriously. People, he's like, which part?
the thought is, you know, people maybe will not believe just the way we believe.
But don't give up seeking after Christ and to have him reigning in your heart and in your life. He needs to be the center, beloved. He needs to be at the very center of your life. And when he reigns, everything within us will be under his authority. Hallelujah. That's the Christ life, when Jesus is King. And I'm so thankful that he has given us his Holy Spirit. He has filled us. He desires to baptize us. We ought to pray for our children, and we ought to pray for ourselves. Lord, fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. God, come and live out your life in us. Hallelujah. And so I believe that is what it speaks here of, the faith of the gospel, the outliving of this Christ life. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ lives in me. But I noticed at the beginning of the 27th verse that he uses this phrase. He says, whatever happens. What does your Bible say at the beginning of verse 27? Whatever happens. Someone else have something different?
Above all.
Above all? What else? Someone else?
Whether I come and see you or else be absent.
Well, it takes us to something that he said before. Right? And so I want us just to go back and just look at the verses in closing that precede this. And I think the place to start is where we left off this morning, beginning at verse 19. You know, again, he talked about people who were not really sincere in preaching the gospel, and they thought they were going to add to his chains and so on. And he says, the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. And then verse 19, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Now, what had happened to Paul? He was in prison. He was in chains. He was awaiting trial. Why? Because he was a criminal? No, because he had taken his stand for the gospel and for Jesus' sake. All right? And so he says, by your prayers and the Spirit of Christ, I'll be delivered. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will always have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Now, he wasn't using, you know, just like flowery language here. This is what he was actually experiencing. He was facing actual death. At this trial, he didn't know what they were going to decide. He didn't know if he was going to be freed. He was expecting to be freed. But he says, I may die. I don't know whether I'm going to live or to die, but it's my desire that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, I don't know if you've taken the moment to think about what that actually means. I mean, would you say that? Could you say that? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I think that's on the plaque. Isn't that on the plaque right in front here? And the plaque that honors Brother Gordon and Sister Caroline Gardner. This is the verse. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, Paul had experienced that. He had experienced maybe what we maybe would call the exchange life. Christ had become his life. It was as as if, where is Paul? Well, he's been replaced. He has been displaced. And someone else has come to live within. Who is it? Well, it's Christ. And he lives out his life through us. And Paul had experienced that. And he said, for me to live as Christ is, I don't know anything else. And so whether I live or whether I die, it's gain. It's either life or more life, someone said. It's either life or more life. Jesus gives us abundant life here and now. And if we're taken from this life, it's more life. It's eternal life. It's life with Him, in His presence. And somehow these realities, these heavenly realities, these eternal realities had gripped his heart. Beloved, you know, I have to say that I need them to grip me in a greater way. If we're honest, we'd rather stay here. My dad was like that. My mom would always say, well, you know, someday, Philip, I'm going to go to heaven. Dad never talked about that. I mean, he wanted to stay here. He was like, I'm torn between the two, you know. And he wanted to be a blessing. Let me say it that way. He wanted to be a blessing. He felt God had placed him here to be a blessing. And the Apostle Paul has the same thing. I don't know, you know, he goes on to say this, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. And so here he wasn't looking necessarily for his own good. He realized, again, that Christ was his life. He didn't belong to himself. And so, Lord, whatever is better for your people, that's what I want. Yes, it would be nice to be with you. That's far better, but I know it's better for them if I stay. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. And so I just want us to see if, you know, can we get some of this in our hearts? The things that motivated the things that was so real to the Apostle Paul. I feel sometimes in reading this book of Philippians that this is the book kind of where he opens his heart. And we'll see that when we get to chapter 3. You know, but here in this chapter he's saying, I really just want to be here to help you. And so I encourage us, I encourage myself. I don't want to live for myself. I want to live for others. I want my life to tell for Jesus. I was talking to a young person this past week, and the person was just sharing how they've come to realize, that's a young person, they've come to realize that it's nice to go places. It's nice to go on vacation. It's nice to see things. It's nice to experience the good things that this world has to offer us. But they said, working here at Pilgrim Camp and serving others is so much better. And that doesn't mean you can't go to Hawaii. I'm jealous of you guys, but or you can't go to nice places and enjoy yourself. That's not what I'm saying. But we have to realize where our joy really is. Where is your joy? Where do you find joy? I will continue with all of you, he says, for your progress and your joy in the faith. So Jesus needs to be the center of our joy. And then we also find joy in serving and blessing others. You know that little thing. I can't help but share that little acronym, or what do you call it, acrostic for joy. What is it? Jesus first, others second, and you last. Oh, you've listened growing up in Sunday school. Good. Good. Now live it. Oh, no, that's the wrong order. Right, William? The why has to be on top. No? I don't know what that spells, though. Well, yeah, if you turn it around. But if you turn it around, it's all confused. It doesn't mean anything. And life becomes meaningless when you put yourself first. And so Paul sets the example for us. Sets the example for us. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And see, once he had that settled in his heart, then it really didn't matter, right? Didn't matter. Whether I stay or go, Christ is going to be glorified. Lord, just give me the courage to live for you, to live out this life that you've given me in a way that will bring glory to you, and I'll be satisfied. Let me satisfy your heart. And so I just encourage us. Again, I know there are children here, young people. There's joy in serving Jesus. There's joy in putting him first. And being willing to use by him to bless others. He wants to take our lives and make them a blessing. And so let's live worthy. Let's live worthy of the gospel. Let's contend together for the faith of the gospel. Jesus, you live in me. You live in me. And so live out that life in me. I know that there are brothers and sisters who desire the same thing, and we're going to stand for you. We're going to stand together. You know, that's why it's important for us to be connected with a local church body. It's important. Oh, I got this on my own. You know, God and I, we're good. I have my time with him, and we talk. Well, that's good. That's good, but that's not really what the Bible teaches. I mean, that's a step. But you need to be part of a local church. And you ought to be united with fellow believers who have this heart for Jesus. And don't always find fault in a church or your pastor. Well, begin to pray. Pray. If you feel that's where God has placed you, well, then pray. Pray for the church. Pray for God to come. Pray for God to use you. Lord, bring me into a place where I can serve you. Give myself to you so that you can live out your life in me. So let's just bow our heads. Now, I've said a lot of things tonight, and today we've heard a lot of things already. But in this moment, I just ask you to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, what is it you're saying to me? What's the one thing, Lord, that you wanted me to hear today? I have to believe that there's at least one thing. one thing that the Spirit of God is trying to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Steve, pray with us, please.
Dear Father God, we're just so thankful for your word and just all the messages we've heard today, Lord, to just apply this to our lives, God, just to walk out our faith and just to just be the salt and light that you've called us to be in this culture.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
God, that we could make a difference and that we could just... Let's be bold in our very faith, and let's be filled with your Holy Spirit as
yes,
we leave
Lord.
This place. We thank you so much for your presence that's here, and Father, just fill us to overflowing, and just, God, you've got a special, you just want to meet everybody where they're at, Lord, and just
yes,
give
Lord.
Them an abundant supply, just to go back into everybody's, their world, and
yes,
just
Lord.
To be the salt light, and just to walk out this faith that you've just given us, Lord, just to... So that we just don't want to keep all this good news, this gospel to ourselves, Lord.
Yes.
We just share it with others.
Yes, Lord.
And just so thankful for that you've just invited us to work with you and to, that you use us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Help us to just be bold and just thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.